Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a little bit of delayed gratification because you don't get to ask me for another 90 minutes or so. But we need your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It is our second Ask Amy Anything of the new year. But this time, last week, of course, we did it last week, didn't we? Yeah, we did. A lot of you were still in 2019 as you were listening, celebrating the start of 2020. And so for those of you who are back into your regular routines, this would be your first Ask Amy Anything of the new year, which is fun. Still a lot of firsts and still essentially okay to say Happy New Year. I'm still saying Happy New Year, but I kind of feel a little awkward about it now. It just depends on whether or not I've spoken to that person and how long it's been since I've spoken to that person. If it was previous to the holidays, it's just weird. It's a feel thing. But I did still issue a couple of Happy New Years over the last 24 hours. 2020 with all of its endless possibilities. Think about the curveballs that 2020 might throw us. And I don't even mean sports. I just mean in our own personal lives. So here, I'll ask you a question. What's your one big goal for 2020? Not a New Year's resolution, because we don't tend to keep those. In fact, I think a lot of people make New Year's resolutions as a joke, never intending to keep them. A lot of us will then laugh about how quickly we got derailed in keeping our New Year's resolutions. What's your one big goal for 2020? One thing you want to do, a promise you want to keep. Maybe it's a place you want to go, a challenge you want to tackle. What's your one big goal for 2020? And if you hadn't seen it, I didn't actually mention this on the air. I just put it on social media. But last week, not on the first day of the year, I think it was Friday, I posted my one word for 2020. It sounds funny, my one word, like the only word I'm going to use in 2020. No, I generally pick a word or a phrase that I will focus on and that I think will be important for me moving into the new year. Something that I want to work on, maybe. Some area of my life where I feel like it could matter. It could really be important in 2020. And so I posted that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. You can find it there whenever you have the time. And there are definitely some goals attached to it. So even before you ask me anything, I'm asking you, what's your one big goal for 2020? You can certainly find us on social media, or we will take your phone calls, 855-212-4227. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Push button, get mortgage. Would you like to know Gardner Minshew's one big goal for 2020? We found it. He posted this video recently on social media. And just in case you don't know who he is, he also identifies himself.
Gardner Minshew here. After a long rookie year, I've decided to take a step back. Recenter myself the only way I know how.
Hopping in my brand new RV and touring this great country. So if you're anywhere between Jacksonville and LA, I want to hear from you. Places to see, anything for free, food to eat, people to meet. Hopefully I see y'all out there on the road. But until then, keep it rolling.
If you haven't seen the video, it's all over the place. My favorite part, as much as I think the RV is funny and the fact that he's wearing cut-off denim shorts, but Gardner Minshew here.
Gardner Minshew here.
I don't don't know why that makes me laugh so hard. And when he initially starts the video, he's doing an Uber close up. Gardner Minshew here.
Keep it rolling.
So, and if you haven't seen it, maybe Chris can retweet it on our show account. But Gardner Minshew's big goal for 2020 is to tour our great country in his brand new RV. Yours doesn't have to be as grand, doesn't have to be as mobile. What's your one big goal for 2020? After Hours CBS on Twitter or on our Facebook page. And then, of course, you can ask me coming up in 90 minutes. Let's talk to Ryan, who's listening in Arkansas. Ryan, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good.
Awesome. Well, I had a few short things that after what you just did with Gardner Minshew. I work at Camping World in Little Rock, Arkansas. So my goal for this year is to sell Gardner Minshew a camper. It's clearly the goal. But no, I called in because I played football at Baylor back in the day. But the reason Matt Rhule wears his smock is he wore it all during 2 days. And so with the players, he just said, first game, hey, guys, let's do what we do, wear what we wear, and that's what he did. And so actually they're playing Oklahoma State, and they're warming up, and one of the players was wearing something different. He said, have you worn that all year? And he said no, and Rhule said, well, take it off, it's not what we do. And so I thought that was pretty cool with Rhule. So
he wore it during 2 days and just decided he wanted to stick with it during games.
Yeah, he said he wants the players to play like they did during 2 days. So
interesting.
During practice, during all the things. My quarterback, actually, I was there at window five. My quarterback's the offensive line coach, Sean Bell at Baylor. So.
And how do you like Matt Rhule jumping to the Carolina Panthers?
You know, I've gone through a different array of emotions throughout the day, Amy. But it is, I'm good with it, man. Amy, I'm going to offer you $60 million to go to New York. And, I mean, does it matter? He offered you $60 million. Yeah, take it.
Well, no, I get that. I'm not saying I'm surprised by Matt Rhule making the jump, because you're right. The deal is worth $60 million, and then David Tepper paid Baylor $6 million more to get him out of his contract there. But I meant Baylor losing this guy who resurrected the program.
He did. I mean, I'm a little different on how bad the program was when he took over. I mean, we lost to Liberty and UTSA with him there. Mm-hmm. And I played a window five, and we were horrible, and we had to beat both those teams. So again, I'm not arguing what Matt Rhule did. He's a great guy, and I ever loved him, and we got better throughout the year. And, he's a good, but it hurts a little bit, but it's fun. I mean, I trust Mac Rhodes, who's our athletic director, and I mean, you can't blame Rhule and the players. That's the biggest thing is today on Twitter, all the players have supported him, and they're kind of seems right. Like they're supporting Joey McGuire to be the new head coach. So
interesting. All right. Well, I appreciate your perspective.
I do want to say that I've been listening to you since in Waco, Texas, on 1660, back when you were on the other station, and you're awesome. I compare you to the Linda Cohn of radio, and you're amazing. So.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Ryan. Yeah. Good to talk to you. And thanks for the explanation about Rhule and his smock.
Hey, no worries, Amy. Thanks, Bill.
Have a great night.
All right, you too.
855-212-4227. So it was as simple as, hey, I want you guys to play the same as you did during 2 days. You were so good. Let's not change anything. I won't change my clothes. 855-212-4227. And already you're sending me your one big goal for 2020. You know what? Reach for the stars, peeps. It can be a gigantic goal. It doesn't have to be something small. Don't set your sights low. Also on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Rudy, who's in Alabama. Welcome to After Hours. What about you, Rudy?
Hey, Amy, you doing all right?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a big Cowboys fan and all. I'm very, very excited that we got, a great coach, or a better coach.
Good.
And I'm very, very, you know, waiting on Buddy to get him before you know it, so we ain't got to worry about that. But my 2020 is my goal, I've been a journeyman press operator for over 40 years almost. And I'm a very good golfer. And my goal is, no kidding, is to play competitive golf with competitive seniors on the senior tour.
Wow, that's a great goal.
I know I can do it. I'm 54 years old.
Uh-huh.
I still hit the ball good. I still know what I'm doing. I still can score, and I still can hit it 300 yards. And I can hit it where I want to. I just got to do the right thing and get to hooked up with the right person and see if it, you know, happens, you know. And I would love for that. You know, I don't give up. I don't quit. And ever, you know, the things I deal with in everyday life, I don't, you know, I don't say no. I know I can do it, you know.
Awesome.
If it happens, you know, it don't matter what it is. So.
So are there ways that you can qualify for senior tournaments?
Yes, there is. You know, the thing is I want to go to golf academy, and that would be the one of the biggest ways, you know.
Wow.
So, that's or meet somebody that is a teacher that mm-hmm. is an ex, you know, ex-golfer in the field, you
gotcha.
Know, if you speak there, you know. So
that sounds like a wonderful goal, and you'll have a lot of fun chasing it, too, if you like golf, which it sounds like you do. And for you to live in Alabama is probably better than to live in the Northeast where I live because I don't golf when it's 40 degrees. So for anyone who only likes to golf when it's, you know, above 60, our window is fairly limited.
Where you live? No, I don't even want to go there. So don't get
this
wrong.
Oh well, as a New England native, I am definitely partial to growing up in the Northeast. Yeah. But I understand, Rudy. Well, that's a great goal.
I don't even like cold weather. I want to go back to Florida. I used to be in Lakeland and Venice area and Sarasota. And that's even better because it's mostly always warm.
So. Well, make sure you call us up and let us know when you achieve your goal. Okay, Rudy?
I will. I'll be all over the post. And I got to listen to you and get your Twitter because I got a Twitter account too.
Oh, good. Okay. It's A-Law Radio. Super easy. A-Law Radio. Yep.
That's it.
Just Google me. You'll find it.
You have a blessing.
Thanks, Rudy. I like that goal. If I was better at golfing, I would say that would be my goal too, to make a tournament. Actually, just to golf on a regular basis in 2020 would be a goal for me because it's been hard since I took this job. I just don't have anyone to play with. And I'm not one of those people who plays on my own. And then the idea of showing up at a golf course and just getting matched with people. I've done it before, but it's a little intimidating to me. So I talk myself out of it. And so, yeah. That'd be a good goal for 2020 as well. What is your goal? Brandon says on Twitter, my 2020 goal to buy a house or be really close to buying a house. That's also a fantastic goal. It's one of mine in 2020 as well. I'm working toward that. And then Fernando says, my goal is to get down to my playing weight, 170 pounds. He doesn't say what sport, though. He's checking in from Vegas. Fernando, thanks so much for your tweet. I'll check our Facebook page here in a bit. But what is your one big goal that you're holding up for 2020? Thanks so much for all of your tweets, all your Facebook posts. And if you have a chance and you're on social media, you can check out my one big word for 2020. I don't think you have to page down that far. It's on my Twitter and it's certainly on our Facebook page. Just look for my smiling mug. You'll find it. 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up next, the interesting twist with the Giants and Jason Garrett and what Mike McCarthy is doing in Dallas to create potentially the coaching staff that has more experience than any other in the league.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Interesting reports out there on Tuesday about the New York Giants requesting permission to interview Jason Garrett. Depending on what you read and when, you might have thought that meant for head coach, or you might have thought that it meant for offensive coordinator. Is that kind of confusing because everything was happening so fast, like fast and furious on Tuesday with the hirings of first Matt Rhule in Carolina. And then even as Matt called the Giants or his agent calls the Giants and says, hey, I have an offer on the table. Are you still interested in interviewing me? Tells him what the terms are. The Giants inform him that they're not willing to match those terms, but if he wants to come back, they'd interview him. If he wants to show up, they'd interview him, but that they're already pretty far along with another candidate. Come to find out, the Giants were deep in negotiations with Joe Judge as early as Monday night. And so even as Matt Rhule was supposed to interview with them, it's great for Matt that David Tepper made him this incredible offer, because the Giants might not have hired him anyway. And remember, it was the Giants who were rumored to be really hot to trot over Coach Rhule. So kind of a tangled web, right? And honestly, I feel like this goes back to Jerry Jones and the way that he pulled a fast one, made it look like he was, and I'm sure there were a lot of emotions wrapped up in it. I'm not saying that he was callous in letting go of Jason Garrett, only that it's pretty obvious he had his mind made up. But he used that as a guise, stretching it out over the course of the last week, used it as a guise. And behind the scenes, he was busy courting his next coach. So by the time he releases the statement on Sunday announcing that he's allowing Jason Garrett's contract to expire, he's already agreed with Mike McCarthy to become the Cowboys' next head coach. Honestly, I believe that he used Jason Garrett as a screen, like a pick in basketball or in football. He used him as a pick to run interference while everybody was focusing on Jason Garrett's future and why the Cowboys hadn't made an announcement. Jerry was using that to go ahead and quietly interview guys and make sure that Mike McCarthy didn't go anywhere else.
Oh, and yes.
As I wrote in my column, this was this revelation even as I was finishing up our last show. This is exactly why Jason Garrett didn't have a public announcement, why Jerry Jones didn't make it official before Sunday. It's a brilliant and devious plan, and it worked to perfection. By not releasing any statement about Garrett, he masterfully kept all the attention on his outgoing coach and didn't alert the other teams that he was closing in on McCarthy, which meant that the Panthers, the Giants, the Browns, who had already met with McCarthy, didn't realize that they better make their best and final pitches because he was about to get scooped up somewhere else. What did I say to you yesterday? You snooze, you lose in the NFL, baby. I am amazed. This was a brilliant move, and it worked to perfection. And now McCarthy is wasting no time rewarding Jones' faith in him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So McCarthy first, and then we'll get to Garrett. We've talked about Mike McCarthy, spent the last year making himself a better coach, brainstorming with others in his business, tracking analytics and offensive trends, studying film, especially about Dak Prescott. He could see the writing on the wall that the Cowboys' job might be open. And of course, he already had assistant coaches in mind when he interviewed with the Cowboys. We know that he lured his former colleague, former head coach, actually, with the Niners, Mike Nolan, to serve as his defensive coordinator. And the news broke on Tuesday that he's going to add another former head coach to his staff. John Fossil was with the Rams as their special teams coordinator, a big reason why they went to the Super Bowl last year. And this former Giants head coach is reportedly going to join McCarthy in Dallas. So now you have three former head coaches coming together on that staff. And another piece of news, sources are indicating that Kellen Moore is actually going to remain as the Cowboys offensive coordinator. So we will get Mike McCarthy's official introduction on Wednesday, but the staff is already coming together. It's a pretty experienced brain trust. In fact, it could be the most experienced coaching staff in the NFL when it's all said and done. With Mike Nolan, John Fossil, Jim Tomsula. Now, we don't often think of him as a head coach, but he did spend a year as the head coach in San Francisco. And I've talked about this before. He was Trent Baalke's sacrificial lamb when he wanted to hire the exact opposite of Jim Harbaugh. And so you're talking about adding Tom Sula, who also has a year of head coaching experience, to coach the defensive line. Four former head coaches in one place. And then Kellen Moore. And most of the offensive coaches under Jason Garrett were still under contract. It was Kellen Moore's first year as the play caller. And the Cowboys had more yards per game offensively than any other team in the NFL. They were sixth in points per game. Now, stats don't necessarily speak to effectiveness, but for the first time in their franchise history, the Cowboys had a 4,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, and two 1,000-yard receivers in the same season. That's never happened before, not even when they won their Super Bowls. And so here becomes the question, who calls the plays in 2020? Is it Mike McCarthy, who did that for the most part in Green Bay, or will it be Kellen Moore? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and on Facebook. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And what's your one big goal for 2020? All right, so back to Jason Garrett. Garrett, free agent, looking for jobs. And depending on what report you believe, there was initially a report out that the Giants actually asked for permission from the Cowboys to interview him for their head coaching job. Except they hired Joe Judge. Now, if you believe the report that they requested permission to interview him for their offensive coordinator job under Joe Judge, that might make more sense. But I suppose there's always a chance that they were going to interview him for head coach and then decided they would hire Judge. And so now it becomes a coordinator position. Why do they have to ask? He's still technically under contract with the Cowboys. He's got six more days to get paid by Jerry Jones. So because he's still technically a member of the Cowboys staff, that's kind of funny, right? I'm assuming he's not using his office in the building, but I could be wrong. New York had to ask for permission, and it may turn out. I don't know, though. Is this up to Joe Judge, or is this up to Dave Gettleman? You would think they'd allow Judge to put together his own coaching staff, especially if he comes from the Bill Belichick tree. So there's another question mark. Will Jason Garrett, who spent some time there on the roster in the early 2000s, will Jason Garrett join Judge? Or is this not what Judge wants at all? Again, I think there's a possibility this was a domino effect, that initially this was supposed to be a head coaching interview, and then it turned into an offensive coordinator interview. Or maybe that's not correct, and it's been misreported. Sometimes it's hard to know, especially when things are happening so quickly. All right. You can find me on Twitter or on Facebook. What's your one big goal for 2020? I love all of your responses about the coaching carousel. And I would love it if you would check out my column. It's also on Twitter and Facebook. I'm going to go over some of the fun nuggets of info that I found, though, as I was researching for this column. We call them nerd alerts on this show, though a 73-year-old listener sent me a very strongly worded tweet a few days ago telling me that I should cease with the nerd alerts because they are very annoying. I wrote back and wished him Happy New Year and told him, thanks for listening anyway. A lot of people really like the nerd alerts, so we will not be ceasing with them. Nerd alert! Way to rub it in, Dave. Nerd alert! It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. He said, we never considered ourselves nerds when we knew all the players and their stats when I was growing up. I guess he thought that nerd was not a compliment, that it was an insult. But hell, I'm a nerd and I'm proud of it. I like being a nerd. N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I really believe that the head coaching position is a CEO position. It really is. In this day and age, you think of all the different tentacles, so to speak, of a football operation. So he's got to be CEO smart, you know, intelligent. He's got to be focused, and of course, he certainly has to be a leader.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That leadership quality is apparently what impressed John Mara the most about Joe Judge, Patriots special teams coordinator and wide receivers coach, groomed by Bill Belichick for his own step up into coaching, and he gets the opportunity with the New York Giants. Judge is a Philadelphia area native, so he's certainly familiar with Philadelphia, New Jersey, the New York area, and he spent not only enough time on Belichick's staff to have earned three of his own Super Bowl rings, but he was also with Alabama before that for a pair of national championships. So quite a pedigree from Nick Saban to Bill Belichick and now to the New York Giants. And Gettleman talking about what he wants in a head coach. His owner in New York certainly shared that. And now Joe Judge will pick his own staff, but could Jason Garrett be a part of it? Oh, what a tangled web we weave. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So in my recent column, producer Chris, do you mind retweeting it? I would appreciate it. I kind of looked at the first week of the new year through the eyes of the NFL. The league has not stopped shooting off fireworks yet to celebrate the start of a new year. I mean, you want to talk about throwing a party and making sure that everybody knows the NFL is got it going on. Not only do we have Wild Card Weekend with its ratings that were up 7%, with its average viewership of 30.5 million people, but we had a bunch of individual records, too, for the various networks. So, Tennessee beating New England on CBS. That was the most watched wild card game since Tim Tebow was the quarterback of the Broncos. It's been a while. And I hit some of these highlights in my column, so I'd love for you to check it out. A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But did you know that the league's 100th season also generated the highest average TV ratings in 4 years? Nerd alert. So we're talking about over the course of the last 4 months, September, October, November, December. The ratings were up yet again, another 5% from last year. And remember, last year they were up 5% from the year before. Roughly 16.5 million viewers per game this season. That includes the stinkers and the blowouts and the games late in the year between two teams with zero claims to the postseason. In fact, some of you would say nothing riding on those games. And yet still, the average viewership for an NFL game this season, whether it's the ones on NFL Network, CBS, Fox, NBC, blah, 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 Monday Night Football, 16.5 million viewers per game.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
Not these. They definitely do not, Clay Thompson. I miss Clay Thompson. It's the first time since 2010 the TV numbers have climbed in back-to-back seasons. So as I noted in my column, the NFL is cruising into 2020 on a very high note. After using those numbers, I then gave you my candidates for the best start to 2020 from inside the NFL. So you can check that out. Again, I appreciate it when you read my column. I always send it to my mom. She passes it along to the football coaches at her high school. Thank you, Mom. Mom doing her best to promote her daughter. She always says to me, I don't really know what you're writing about, but I think you write so well.
Thank you, Mama.
Yeah, no, seriously, thank you, Mama. And then here's a couple of cool nerd alerts that I stumbled across that I did not put in my column. I did tweet them earlier on Tuesday, but for those of you who didn't see the tweet, or for those of you who only use Facebook. According to the NFL, so this comes directly from a release by the NFL, female viewership increased by 5% in 2019. So if you think about it, all of the TV ratings were up 5% across the board. It was a 5% increase. But the league also saw more females watch football in 2019 to the tune of a 5% increase over the year before. And here's my favorite part. Women made up at least 35% of the TV audience each of the last three seasons. 35%, you guys, that's more than a third of the average audience for Thursday, Sunday, Monday. More than a third is women. So tell me again how women shouldn't be talking about football. A third of the audience. The NFL has recognized that and certainly wants to tap into that potential there and increase that number even more. And I'll just tack on, there are a lot of women who listen to this show. Some say they were turned on to it by a husband or a boyfriend or a son or a friend. A lot of them tell me they love football and that it's so much fun to listen to another woman who loves football the way that they do. That's what we're here for, baby. All corners of the audience. You got a soft place to land here on After Hours. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. James is listening in Alabama. James, welcome to After Hours. No, yep, to you.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
You caught me at a bad time. I'm a trucker, and I'm actually
No. You called my show. I can't catch you at a bad time. You, that's your fault. Uh-oh, did we lose him? Oh, okay. Hopefully we'll get you back there, James. George is listening in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You know, it was ironic. As I was watching the end of the Patriots game, it was like I was going through my phone, and my phone just hopped to YouTube. And YouTube was playing, had popped up with New Edition. And since Boston and the Patriots are both, I mean, since the Patriots and New Edition are both products of the Boston area, it was ironic when I saw that my that the YouTube had New Edition song, Is This the End, you know, instead of the play. And I was just wondering, is that ironic in reference to the fact that is this really the end to the Patriot dynasty with possibly Tom Brady leaving, you know, Bill Belichick getting older? The team is really not really that strong all around, as was shown by their 5-5 record the last 10 games that they played this particular season.
I mean, you pack a lot in there. So let me first of all say, it doesn't matter how old Bill Belichick is. There are coaches in the NFL who are older than him. So I don't think that matters even a little bit. All it does is make him even wiser and more experienced than he was before, give him more time to prepare. So let's take the age off the table for Bill Belichick. I can't predict the future, but I do not believe the Patriots I do not believe this is the end of the Patriots. Now, will it still be a dynasty moving forward? Probably not, because what they've done already over the last 20 years is incredible enough and will likely never be replicated. Every good thing comes to an end in sports. We know that's the case. No matter how long it lasts, eventually reality comes crashing in. But do I think that's the end of the Patriots being competitive? Hell no. Not as long as Belichick is their head coach. And as much as it has to do with Tom Brady, too, I don't know that I'm not saying they would be as good, but if Tom Brady decided to retire or if he ends up playing somewhere else, which I don't think is likely, I still say that Belichick can find another quarterback and put him in there and put some weapons around him, and it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, we know what a high-quality coach can do and what an impact he can make. And so I do not think that they're at the end of their run. I think the Bills could challenge them for the AFC East title again next year, and potentially we could see more of a challenge from the Jets. The Dolphins might be a couple years away. But either way, that division, I expect, will become more competitive. So will they win another AFC East? I don't know. Do I expect them to challenge for a playoff spot in 2020? Absolutely. As long as Belichick is at the helm, and he certainly recognizes that they've got to address their wide receiver core as well as their offensive line, not to mention tight end. They really didn't find someone who even came close to filling the role that Rob Gronkowski vacated. So that's all well within his ability to do. And it's not like the team is rebuilding or anything. So, no, I don't think it's the end of the Patriots.
So, Amy, are you truly saying that more so is Belichick who is the cause of the dynasty instead of Brady?
No, I think the two of them go hand in hand. But what I'm saying is Belichick is a good enough coach that he can find another quarterback eventually. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo he found and then had to trade because Garoppolo's rookie contract was running out. I mean, that was kind of his choice and his plan. So do I think he can find another quarterback who can keep the team competitive? Absolutely. Tom Brady's not the only quarterback on the planet that can play really good football. Is he the best? Yes. Is it a lot of it have to do with the people that Bill Belichick has put around him and the calls and the plays? Absolutely. Brady's the perfect guy for that system, and his brain makes him a Hall of Fame quarterback. But do I think that he's the only quarterback that can be the man and that can be really good in New England? Absolutely not. I mean, there are other quarterbacks right now who could go to New England who could play and keep that team competitive. So, yeah, we'll just see. We'll see where the winds of change blow. George, thanks so much for your phone call. I'm sorry. For those of you who think that this is the end of the Patriots dynasty or the end of them being competitive, I'm just not on board with that. Thanks so much for listening to our hump show. Glad to have you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.